This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
We talk addictive personalities, and whether they exist or not, I don't know, but I really put my entire effort into that, and that's what took over for me. And once I started seeing the gains that I was getting in that, and that became my new passion, and that's what spurred me along. It can be anything you want it to be, though. It doesn't have to be that.
Now, if we do say so ourselves, this week's episode of Over the Influence, it's ace. It's just such a good listen. Our guest this week, OTI podcast superfan, Steve Smith, who is based in the south of England in Surrey, and in the next couple of days is coming up for 4 years alcohol-free. What an incredible guy. He's got a great story to share. He had some news yesterday. Not great news, and you'll find out what it is during the course of this episode. We're just blown away by how positive Steve is, the stuff he's got planned, and the impact that making that one decision to remove alcohol has had on his life. I'll stop talking. Steve's got loads to share. Let's get into this week's fabulous episode.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Laura from North Wales. I've been sober curious for a few years, as my drinking was creeping in more and more and just becoming too much of a bad habit. I'd tried to moderate, but that just seemed to cause too much stress, so I decided to take a break. I found the OTI podcast in my first week and I loved it. Ben and Shaz just seemed so normal and down to earth, and had fun with the guests and sang about the joys of sobriety, that I just thought I'd really give alcohol-free life a proper go. So I binged the back catalogue in the first 3 months, and then I bravely took the plunge and joined the community, which was a bit nerve-wracking, but it definitely was the best thing I've ever done. The community is really supportive and welcoming, and the Zooms are a total game changer, and it's just nice making new friendships with like-minded people. It's definitely worth its weight in gold. I'm now nearly 8 months alcohol-free, and I can honestly say I don't think I'd have got this far without OTI. So if you're sober curious or thinking about going alcohol free, I'd highly recommend giving OTI a go, because you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. So just give it a try.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It's ace to have you listening. Thank you kindly. My name is Sharon Hartley, if you didn't know. 51 years old, Ben. Not 50-something, I'm 51 years old. We've just had a row on the Premium podcast. I'm not going to let it drop. Anyway, I stopped drinking booze at the age of 44. And in September, I will be 7 years alcohol-free. Just come back from a few days away with the family. Another alcohol-free holiday, and at the risk of sounding like the biggest alcohol-free bore, honestly, sober holidays, they are literally the gift that just keep on giving. If you'd have told me this 8 years ago, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, I literally would have laughed in your face and said, pour me another sangria. FYI, you can get 0.0% sangria in Mallorca. It was really nice. Anyway, I'm going on. What else did I want to tell you? Stopped drinking at the age of 44. Best thing I ever did. I drank too much, too quickly, far too often, and we love wanging on about the joys of sobriety on this podcast week in, week out. I don't do it on my own. Ben Anderson, it's his birthday this week. Ben,
yeah.
You've got a birthday coming up.
So we're recording this, and my birthday is in 2 days. But when this comes out on Monday, I will be in my late 30s, Sharon.
Late 30s.
But also, excitingly, it will be my 5 years week, because my birthday was a
yes.
Big kind of like a, I did a 3 month break from alcohol. I was never supposed to give up booze forever. I said, right, I'm going to do 3 months. And then I got to 3 months and did six, and got to six and felt great and thought, let's do 12. And, you know, and I always say that I had a year off booze, and how good would that be to say? And then I got to day 366 and went, this is really good for me. I'm an alcohol free person now. Let's keep on trucking. But it was my birthday that was one of the big kind of, right, you need this break, mate, because I really overdid it. I went absolutely. It was after lockdowns and it was in a break between the lockdowns and I could see my mates if it was outside. And we just went for it. And that was a very important moment for me choosing to remove alcohol, because I just remember waking up on the I think I was 31. Would I have been? I can't remember. But I just remember waking up thinking, like, I feel like an old man. Like, I'm in my early 30s here, and I feel absolutely like I've just been hit by a train. Like, I've got to have a break from this bloody thing. So, yeah, that's, you know, it's an important part of it for me, was my birthday. But enough about me, because we should talk to our guest, because I love it, Shaz. This job, doing this podcast, is just fabulous, isn't it? Because we get to spend time with some amazing people, and I always love spending time with people who are huge fans of us.
Yeah, and that's why we go on the fans.
And that's why we go on the podcast. Go on, you do the big intro, Shaz. Isn't it nice to be talking to someone who's listened to Over the Influence since the very first episode?
I hope he says that we've got better over the years. When we start out, hello, my name's Sharon and I don't drink. It's very good. We've got better, I think, with age and a bit more sobriety under our belts. We're chuffed a bit this week to introduce Steve Smith to the podcast. Steve is based in Surrey, which is in England. And also a mega milestone for you this week, Steve. How alcohol-free are you going to be when this comes out?
Well, thanks for the intro. I feel like I should be sitting with loads of ATI background or a scarf or something as a mega fan. But yeah, this Saturday I'm going to be 4 years alcohol-free. So yeah, big milestone coming up. So super excited to celebrate with an AF beer this weekend.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Huge congratulations.
Thank
four
you.
Years. Did Thank you ever... You. Set out to be 4 years alcohol free?
No, is the honest answer. I mean, I think I probably mirror a lot of people's stories. I set out to take a break. I took a break to train for an Ironman 4 years ago, and actually there was a long build up story to that. But it was for me, that was something I really wanted to focus on. I'd had many failed attempts before at trying to take a break. Dry January being one of them, but my birthday falls on the 1st of February, so I always had a celebration at the end of it. So if I ever made it that far, but I never ever set out with 4 years in mind. Mm. I think in the back of my mind I wanted 3 months, but at the time that felt like a lifetime. So no, it's been a journey.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. You know, the amount of people, Steve, we've spoken to, and I can include myself in this and Ben as well, and probably just about every single guest we've had on this podcast, that people have said, right, well, I'm just going to try this alcohol-free nonsense. It's obviously going to be crap and I'm going to hate it and nothing's going to change. And then you do that 3 months, don't you? And you think, actually, yeah, it's ticking a few boxes. This is okay. Well, all right, we'll just go a bit longer. I have yet to speak to that person that went, yes, I'm going to stop drinking now and this is going to be it. It starts out as a break, doesn't it? And then these little increments of loveliness start happening and things start to change. Just talk us through what it was like for you before you took that first break. Or should I say the first break that stuck?
Well, I'd wind probably right back. I mean, I can remember alcohol right back to when I used to go on holiday with my parents to Mallorca, and I was always kind of fascinated by the bartenders out there, always that little bit theatrical bartending and jumping up and tipping a bottle off the top shelf and catching it and all that sort of stuff. And I was always a bit fascinated by that. And then alcohol, I got introduced to alcohol in the park with my mates, you know, and I had my first sip of alcohol way before I should have, maybe 14, 15 years of age. And I still can remember the first time I got drunk up the park with my friends. Even growing up, my dad had a bar in the house, a proper Del Boy style bar in the house. And parents were from Glasgow. They always had, there was a real community, people coming around. So very quickly, I associated alcohol with fun. And from there, you know, the whole bar scene, as soon as I was old enough to work properly, that movie came out with Tom Cruise back in the 90s, and I was hooked. That was me. That's all I wanted to do, was work behind a bar and be a flair bartender and a cocktail bartender. So that's how I stepped into that So I joined and worked for TGI Fridays way back in the early 90s and very quickly became a flair bartender with them. And I was throwing bottles around, entering competitions, and that got bigger and bigger.
Wow.
Got bigger and bigger. And then
collecting many badges, I imagine, Steve.
Lots of badges, lots of braces with silly badges on, yeah. And in 2000, I then went on and won the World Bartender Flair Championship. So it was a big feather in my cap. It was a rock star bartender lifestyle. I was in the West End of London, Leicester Square, partying till the early hours, or finishing work and then starting partying. And we knew every bartender in town, so we'd get free drinks whenever we went there. We would give them free drinks. I think I've been out of that job for long enough now to tell that without getting sacked. but so it was free drinks everywhere we went, and it was fun. We used to know restaurants in Chinatown, because it was the old licensing laws. We used to know restaurants in Chinatown where we could get beer in teapots after hours. And so we would finish in the early hours, we'd go back to work, and it was encouraged. Our bosses would be like, yeah, get a Bloody Mary down here and off you go, start the day again. And we would just keep drinking and drinking and drinking. So, but we were never any trouble. The biggest trouble I ever got into was the sheer amount of mobile phones I probably lost along the way. And just I can remember some pretty states I got into, but any bar I ever got thrown out of was probably for drinking on, falling asleep on the bar from having too much. And I was never any trouble. None of us were. But that kind of carried on. And that was in my 20s. I carried on into my 30s. I still worked in hospitality, moved into management, moved into operations management. And I kind of carried on, not to that level, but drinking was always part of my life. And I would always drink heavier than I should, I guess. But it was fun. And it was fun through my 30s into my 40s. But then I started to give my head a bit of a wobble as it got a bit further into my 40s, and really started to question, why am I still drinking like I'm that age? It wasn't to that extent, but I became a dad a little bit later on in life. So my eldest son's now 11. So I was 41 when I became a dad. And there was a long story short, just after he was born, there was a moment I'd been out with work. We'd had a fair few drinks after a meeting and in London, and that turned into shots, which turned into a bit of an evening, all what seemed like harmless fun. Train was a little bit delayed, so what do? You grab a pint in the bar, jumped on that train and woke up at the end station, missed the last train, was in the middle of nowhere. And there was that moment where I just thought, what are you doing? You are a new dad. So that's when I started to try and take a few breaks here and there, be it dry January or sober October or whatever it happened to be. But with my birthday on the 1st of February, there was always a reason to drink if I made it that far. And I never viewed it as a problem. I never really thought it was a problem. I knew in the back of my mind I was drinking too much, if I'm honest, but everybody else was. Everybody else was doing the same thing. So all the way through this, I was always a keen runner. 2009, sadly, I lost my mum to ovarian cancer. But me and my brother had said for many years that we were going to run the London Marathon. And we'd always wanted to do it together. So shortly after my mum passed away, we agreed to try and get a charity place and raise some money for Macmillan. We did a really great job, and we raised just about 14 grand for Macmillan.
Wow.
Between the pair of us. And I ran the marathon in 2009. And I was hooked. My brother, not so. But I was hooked. So I also ran it in 2010 because I was lucky enough to get through the ballot. And I carried on running more and more marathons and signing up wherever I could. I was always keen as a runner as a kid, but I'd always celebrate finishing a race with a pint. And that kind of carried on and carried on. So 2021, over that time, I'd got into a bit more cycling and a bit of swimming. So I decided I was going to take the opportunity. I'd always seen this thing called Ironman. So I thought I would give it a go. And cutting a long story short, that was what brought me to that point when I decided to take a break for 3 months. And I knew in order to train for something like that, I would have to be getting up super early. I'd have to be turning up and putting the work in. And I knew I wouldn't be able to do that even if I'd had a beer after work. So I took what was initially meant to be a month or a 3 month break. I really didn't know. And it was really uneventful. I can still remember the last day. Just in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to take a break. I've just had enough. I'm just going to take a bit of a break and see what happens. So I did that. And, I started Googling podcasts. I started looking up to see Quitlet. Well, podcast led to Quitlet, but one of the first podcasts I came over was you guys. And
woohoo,
there you go.
Which is really surprising to me, Steve,
yeah.
Because we're really bad at this. We're really good, I think, at the talky bit, but we're really bad at things like, it's also just, oh, what about the SEO? And then, ah, yeah, the SEO. So what does that mean?
Is that seriously what?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were talking about a different podcast. I said, I've never heard of them.
Yeah, I'm very glad that you stumbled across us. I'm not sure how you did, but I'm glad you did.
No, and I'm, you know, big shout. I'm super glad as well. And I think one of the things with OTI that I love so much is it just, and equally now, just it just feels like having a conversation, and it just feels like people who are on the same page, and you absolutely shout about sobriety. And shout about the positives of sobriety. And yeah, it took me time. I mean, 4 years has been a while, but I love my life now. I love what that's released for me and what the doors it's opened for me. And I can't think of something that hasn't improved as a result. So yeah, big shout out to yourselves. And that led, you know, obviously I've read so much Quitlet. I've worked my way through. I think the first book that really stood out for me was Alcohol Lied to Me.
Mm-hmm. Greg Beck, he's been on the podcast twice.
Greg Beck, a fantastic voice.
He has got a booming voice.
Hello, yeah. Sharon. I love Greg.
And it really spoke to me, that book. And then I think I've ticked off all the others we talk about. So it just
Steve,
opened
have you,
up.
Have you ever seen this one?
I've read that one. That's my favourite.
Sharon's holding
it. Well done. Even if you haven't, just I like the fact that you've said that.
I don't need to.
I genuinely have.
Everyone knows. Sharon's holding. She's holding up a copy of her own flipping book. Of course she is.
I keep it in the boiler room where we record, just in case.
That's just in case. I've read it. I've listened to it because my job. I spent a lot of time in the car. So
you're a lovely, lovely man. I'm just going to very quickly interrupt you. And I hate interrupting guests. We like to let you talk. But having found the podcast when you did all that time ago, what does it feel like for you now, 4 years alcohol-free, being a guest on Over the Influence?
It's really... I didn't know how I'd feel, really. And it's very... It's very relaxed because obviously I've listened to it so much that actually it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
It feels a bit odd. Yeah, it's like it's almost like I should be sitting in the car and it's an interactive podcast that I'm involved
it's
in.
Crazy.
But it's brilliant and it's loving it.
I love that. Carry on. I'll shut up now.
Do you mind if I jump in, Steve? Because you know,
of course,
it's kind of like lifting the curtain a little bit. We haven't known each other for long. Steve, we did meet each other a few years ago on a Zoom call once.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we haven't, we started chatting and lifting the curse. And we always say to our guests at the beginning, right, you know, this is Urson. You know, it's a chat, not an interview. And, you know, we haven't got set questions. We'll have to follow the tangents. We kind of give the warm-up spiel. Then we also say, you know, is there anything that you definitely like us to cover? And look, you'll know from being a listener that we love to have a good time, but we also talk about some pretty difficult stuff at times.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to end this podcast by talking about your fabulous new life and where you are and the great things that you're doing. But you gave us an answer when I said, is there anything you definitely like us to cover? He said, oh, you know, I'd love to talk about what I'm doing now. And actually, yesterday, I was made redundant from a 30-year career in... Yeah. Hospitality.
Yeah.
I know we're having a really nice time. But can we talk can we talk about that? Because, wow, what a huge moment to have in your life. How are you? How are you feeling?
You know what? Of course, there's a massive amount of uncertainty when something like this happens. I've been... It's sidelined me a bit. It's a bit of a kick in the teeth. These things happen, but I'm just so grateful that this happened now and not 4 years ago, because actually I'll be lying. I did go to the pub on the back of it yesterday, but I had a stray a zero with a couple of other guys that were involved. And I just think I would have tried to push it further down the line and not deal with it. And actually probably have gone and hit the pub and had a few beers and thought, you know what, sod it. I'm going to, you know, I'll deal with this further down the line. And I feel nervous. Of course, I feel worried for the future, but I also know that this is going to open doors. And this will massively give me an opportunity to do what I want to do. And it might just be the kick up the ass that I need. During my alcohol-free journey, I trained with Andy Ramage. I've become a qualified coach. I've qualified as a USCA ultra marathon coach as well. So I've ticked off a 100-mile ultra, a 200-mile ultra, numerous 50-mile ultras. So it's opened so many doors for me. And I've started my coaching business last year, which is Soberilliant. And I've been running that behind the scenes whilst I've been working, but I now know that I can put my heart and soul into that. And the joy of coaching people and giving back and sharing what I've learned, and helping people to find whatever it is they want to do, and whether that's being alcohol free and choosing that new life or dipping their toe into alcohol free life, then that gives me so much joy to do. And I love every second of it. So yeah, I'm probably going to be in for a bumpy few months. I'm probably going to be in for a bumpy year, but I'm approaching it with such a different approach now. I just feel I feel positive for it. I feel really excited what the future is going to bring. Yeah, it's going to be tougher to pay the bills for a little while, but I firmly believe these things happen for a reason, and I'm super excited for it. So it's a total different outlook. Because I think back to when I was working full time and COVID hit. And when COVID hit, I was drinking. So when I had that thought that I was going to lose my job, because I'd just started my new job and I'd been there for less than 6 months, and I thought I was going to lose my new job. So when COVID hit, all I was doing was just kind of like everybody else, daytime drinking and kind of catastrophizing everything, where actually it wasn't as bad as all that in the end. So actually now with this happening, I'm excited and I'm positive about what it may hold going forward.
I love that.
Can we
Steve.
Talk a little bit more about that? That's just, it's amazing to hear you talk about something so difficult in such a positive way. You know, Steve, the amount of times on this podcast, on Zoom calls, on our premium podcast, yeah, OTI at the heart of it, we bang on about sobriety and we shout really loud for the people at the back that are thinking it's going to be awful, it's going to be tough. Yeah, it is going to be tough, but we want to sing about the joys of sobriety. And a lot of the time we always go, little disclaimer, you can remove the alcohol, life still continues. You know, we've had people on this podcast that have experienced devastating loss. They've gone through grief sober. They've gone through massive life changes, relationship changes, whatever it be. You know, you were made redundant yesterday at the time of recording. Talk us through why you think you can deal with it in such a positive way. What's the difference between dealing with it this way, 4 years down the line, alcohol free, and then dealing with it as you may have done as a drinker? It's a really difficult thing to tackle. How are you doing this positively? Let people know what it's like.
I feel like there's so much less noise in my head, is the honest thing. And I think when something like that happens yesterday, and that is a big bang in your head, that is a load of noise going on, but there's the clarity that's there around it. And I feel like I've got the space in my head to deal with it. And I feel like I can almost slow things down and pause it and really think. Of course, I've had moments to myself where I'm going to have a lump in the throat and be upset and worry about the future for me, my wife and the kids and everything else. But I can get through that because I can get through tough things. I know I can get through tough things. I've got through tough things since I've been alcohol free. I lost my father two years ago. I was drinking when I lost my mum, which was 2009. So I've been through loss, and I've been through it whilst drinking, and I've been through it whilst sober. And now I'm going through this whilst sober, and I can see the difference. And it's just I think going back to what I said, there's so less noise in my head. I don't meditate all the time, but I do practice meditation when I can. And that's just to the extent of having the Calm app. But it's the ability to be able to stop, pause, and just clear my head and then figure out how I'm going to do it. I can always put everything into, mentally put things into boxes, and how am I going to approach this forward? So, yeah, it's just, it's less confusing, I think.
Well, and Steve, I'm just thinking back to when, because I was made redundant 6 years ago. I was 31 at the time. I remember speaking to someone about it, and I was just talking about how cross I was, how upset I was, how hard I'd worked, how unfair it was, and da 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 da. And they were like, you haven't been fired. You know, you've been made redundant. You haven't been fired. This is not about you. This is about the job that you had, not about the way that you did that job. Like, the job is not going to exist anymore. It's not that you did a bad job of doing it. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. You know, that was a kind of a click moment for me. But I was full on, let's go to the pub. It ramped up my drinking massively. I was really negative about it for ages. With hindsight, I look back on it now, and I was made redundant, and I started my own podcast production company, and I met a lady called Sharon Hartley who was wearing a blouse.
Wore a blouse that day.
He wanted to produce a podcast called Over the Influence about alcohol-free life that I thought no one had listened to. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, like, we wouldn't be chatting now if I wasn't made redundant 6 years ago.
Well, that's crazy.
And that's
mad. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, interestingly enough that you say that, I met a careful how I phrase it, a colleague on my coaching cohort last year, and we're about to start a podcast. So but he wasn't wearing a blouse, but I'm sure maybe he will for the first episode. I don't know. But we're just
if you want to make moves in this alcohol free world, you wear a blouse.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. But that, yeah, so there's that to launch. I'm running alcohol free challenges at the moment through my coaching business, and that's, it's so lovely interacting with people with that, and you know, so it's I just feel like it's starting to get legs and it's starting to grow, and that's the exciting part. And you know, I think I would have looked back on that, well, I wouldn't be doing I wouldn't have an alcohol free coaching business if I was drinking, but if I was launching something else and I was drinking, and it was just starting to get off the ground and starting to really tick, I would probably be moaning that it wasn't big enough and it wasn't getting where it needed to be quick enough. And I was, for me, it's just like, okay, I'm looking at how can I get this to start? You know, how can I be engaging with more people? How can I really, you know, so I just look at that as well with so much more logic and in much more a practical way, I'm being more positive about that than maybe negative, you know. So it's, yeah.
Well, if you need any tips, Steve, we've got a hugely successful alcohol-free podcast on our hands here. Let's listen to you around the world.
I know a really good producer, but he's very busy because he became a co-host.
You know what? I'd actually
background Ben.
No, the one main tip I'd give you, actually, Steve, just really, you do really like this fella that you're doing it with, don't you? Because when you launch a podcast with someone, you spend a lot of time with him.
He's a good guy.
A lot of time.
I'll give him a shout out. His name's James Lloyd. He's a good guy.
Well,
hi, James Lloyd.
Honestly,
hi, James.
You'll get to know James even more intimately than you already do, because it's not just the recording time. It's the text.
No, it's
the,
not. Da, 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 da. There's a lot.
You get to know your co-host very, very well. And it's great fun.
It's good stuff.
And I can't wait to listen to it. So when's it out? Sorry.
So we're going to be recording next Thursday.
Nice.
Obviously, we want to start to have a play around and see how things go. So a week or two after that, it's going to be called the Alcohol Free Revolution. So watch this space. It's coming soon.
Question for you: have you got any guests lined up? Do you need anybody?
How are you fixed? We'd love to have you on.
Here to help. No, genuinely here to help.
Amazing.
I sound like I'm taking the mic a little bit, but genuinely, we'd love to help you in any way, shape or form.
Oh, that's amazing. I'll definitely be in touch for sure. Absolutely.
Excellent. Get dead nervous as well when we're guests, don't we, Ben? One of the people's
I don't like it, actually.
I don't like it.
I didn't realise how much of a control freak I was, actually, until I had to go and be interviewed again. And I hadn't been interviewed for ages. And I was like, hang on a second. Yeah. I asked the questions around here.
It's bizarre, yeah. Because we both work in broadcasting as well. I'm a radio presenter.
Yes, yes.
Ben runs a radio station. And it's like when you turn the tables. Anyway, enough about us. I wanted to come back. But yeah, drop us an email. We'd love to come on.
Amazing.
I want to come back to the progress that you've made over the last 4 years, because one thing that comes up within our community, I think, and when people drop us messages and that, you might have been drinking for, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you know, for decades, and then people stop and they've not been drinking for 4 weeks, and it's like, right, okay, when's all this kicking in? All this stuff that you shout about on this flipping podcast, when is it happening for me? And I always, you know, remind people that you can't undo years or decades of drinking overnight. It just takes the patience of a saint, doesn't it? You know, me and Ben were talking the other day. We've been at this now for 5 years. For 5 years. And Ben's right. When he started producing this podcast, Steve, we literally had two listeners. It was my mum and it was Ben's dad. We're now in the millions. It's phenomenal, but it's been a long slog to get to this point. And that is very much what sobriety is, isn't it? You need to, and excuse me for sounding corny, put the work in, do the work. But I do believe you need the patience of a saint, and it takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And I mean, for me and for most, I still stand by that 100 days. That was the tipping point for me. That really changed everything. I mean, I did put the work in, and as I say, I stopped drinking to train for Ironman, and I put the work. I put all my effort into that. I wouldn't tell myself, you know, I need to be in the pool at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I'm not going to do that if I have a beer tonight. So I did that, and then I'm going to get out on my bike, and these are all things I used to do. But I suddenly noticed that actually, once I stopped drinking, and the weight came off, I didn't need to spend $7,000 on a bike because I could get up a hill on whatever because I dropped the weight that way. And then 4 years down the line, the money I've saved on alcohol, I can spend $7,000 on a bike. And that's what I really put all my effort into. And I do, I mean, we talk addictive personalities, and whether they exist or not, I don't know, but I really put my entire effort into that. And that's what took over for me. And once I started seeing the gains that I was getting in that, and that became my new passion. And that's what spurred me along. It can be anything you want it to be, though. It doesn't have to be that. For me, I'm an extreme person. I push it to as much as I can. But equally, last year, I started learning how to play the guitar at the age of 51 with my two boys. And it's been absolutely magical because I'm crap. and none of they're probably far better than me, and I'm not selling out Wembley anytime soon, but it's just the most magical thing to be able to sit down and play guitar with them. And I tried 10 years ago to learn the guitar, and I always told myself my hands were too small. I couldn't be bothered. I gave up. And now it's just, I mean, as I say, it's just stringing a few chords together. I can just pick it up and just, it's almost like a meditation myself. It's but doing it with them, it's amazing. So something like that versus, you know, 4 years down the line now, I've done 4 full distance Ironmans. I'm doing another one in 2 weeks. And in December of last year, I ran a 200-mile ultra marathon around the south of the UK.
Hang on. Wait up. 200 miles in one go.
It was a race called.
Why, Steve? Why?
Because it's nice to get a bit of peace and quiet.
Well, that's extreme. Just come round here. Come round here. I'll make you a brew.
There you go.
Any peace and quiet around Shaz's house. Let me tell you that.
You can crew me next time, Shaz, because I drank a lot of tea on the way round. I had four guys crewing me. It's a race called the Centurion Winter Downs 200, and it was a 200-mile ultra marathon around the south of the UK, all on trails. North Downs, phenomenal. South Downs, everything in between. And it was 82 hours with 6 hours sleep.
Oh, my God.
Hallucinations, everything. But you look back on that, and I knew I could do that. Alcohol-free life helped me with that. And not necessarily just the training. It just taught me I can do difficult things.
Yeah.
And I can push myself to do whatever I want to. I love that. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't go your way and you fail on these things. But I got round. And there were moments in that where I was just taken to the absolute brink mentally of what I could put myself through. And it was just life changing, because I know that has helped me realize that I can just do things that I can do tough things. And that also reaffirms my relationship with alcohol. I mean, very rarely now does the thought of having a beer creep across, but it does for all of us, you know, especially with the summer we're having, you know, walking past a beer garden and you see a cold pint and you think, oh, I could have that. But we're lucky enough now that we can, and more places and so much more alcohol-free options. But equally, I mean, yesterday, just going off on a tangent, but yesterday, the trains were delayed. Just after I got made redundant, actually, the trains were delayed coming out of London. And I walked into one of the pubs in London to pass the time, knowing I wasn't going to have a drink. But I walked in and I got myself an alcohol-free beer and I sat there because I had no idea where the trains were going. As I was walking out, there was a big fridge and in it said train beers.
Oh,
and I just thought, God, how times have changed. Because actually, I mean, we talk about how it's marketed at us, but that just, I thought that was a trigger if ever there was one. But you know, I'm just glad I didn't feel the need to have one. But yeah,
it feels like you got a lot of very, very good reasons to be alcohol free, Steve.
Yeah. I really feel I have.
So I totally get it. Like, I totally get those moments. And, you know, I'll still have them moments. We talk about this for hours every week. And I'm 5 years next week. You know, you know, I'll still definitely have those moments that kind of catch you off guard. Mm. And the thing that I find now, the thing that gets me through those moments is it's not anything. It's not kind of, you know, revisit your whys, look at what you've written down on your phone. None of that stuff anymore. It's just the depth of great experiences I've had as an alcohol-free person. That's what gets me through now. Is it's just like, yeah, but it is. It's just like, because I definitely,
it's true.
I did exactly the same thing when I stopped vaping. Is I wrote, in fact, I wonder what I said in the vaping one. Because it's, I've just, you know, wrote why. It costs, it makes me tired, it's bad for my skin and my teeth. I don't want Leo to see me vaping in capitals. Mm. The disposables were illegal from June anyway. You know, I wrote my list and I definitely looked at that list loads at the beginning, and now I haven't looked at it for weeks. You know, and it's that same thing, that time does kind of get you through these things, doesn't it? But obviously you've got to build up the time to be able to.
No, you do. You do. And then as you do, those moments just become, you know, you couldn't pay me to drink now. And actually, you just, when you picked up your phone there, it just jogged my memory with Father's Day just gone. I'll level myself here because it's a lovely story, but it gets me choked. My youngest, my kids are 11 and 9 now, literally within the last week. And they totally get the fact that I'm alcohol free. They talk about it. They've said to me in the past, you know, I'll never drink, Daddy. And I've said, you know, we can talk about those things, you know, as and when. And it's your choice and all that, you know. But my youngest on Father's Day made me a Father's Day card. And he's a wicked little runner. He's brilliant. And I've been desperately trying to get him into a local club near me, which is called AFD, Aldershot and Farnham District. So it's a really good, they've produced 11 Olympians. So watch this space. And he made me a Father's Day card and the can, he drew a can on it and it said Lucky Daddy, and it was not Lucky Saint, it was Lucky Daddy. And he had AFD and next to it said Alcohol Free Daddy.
Steve!
I know. It was, I stuck it up on my Insta because I was like, oh, the card that says a million words. It was just, wow. It blew my mind. I was speechless. And just to know that the impact that it's had on them. And yeah, it was a truly magical moment, a card I'm going to keep forever.
You're such a nice guy, Steve.
You are a really bloody nice guy.
And you guys are great too.
No, we just pretend. But you're genuinely a nice guy. I'm so sad for you that you're in a shit position at the moment where you've got to, you know, really think about what's going to come next. I'm also massively excited for you that you've got this really clear head on it and this really good vision and obviously the work ethic to see it through. You know, like, I'm just, you know, it's a weird mix, isn't it? And like, I just love how positive you are about everything. And it feels like a lot of that is because you did just one thing. Yeah. Which is nuts, isn't it?
It really is. And you've hit the nail on the head. You really have. It is because of doing that one thing. It genuinely is. And I cannot scream loud enough about the joys of alcohol free life. I can't. And you always don't want to be that guy, do you? So, you know, but my God, honestly. And interestingly, you know, I went out on Sunday with a bunch of the old bartenders that I used to work with. There was 30 of us. We hadn't seen each other for probably 30 years. And it was absolutely incredible. There was a little sad undertone to it. It was one of the guys, sadly, is suffering from his third brain tumor, and it's not going to go his way, unfortunately. But if I'm positive, he's the most positive person ever. And he's decided to see out his life doing his bucket list. And he's raised his friends have raised crowdfunding a massive amount of money for him. A guy called Paul Hatton, Gizmo. And he's going to see out his life traveling the world doing his bucket list. But we all went up to surprise him in London. And we hadn't got us all together for 30 plus years. And it was the original Fridays team from Haymarket, Leicester Square. And about 30% of us weren't drinking. And boy, did we drink in the day.
How about that?
Isn't that interesting?
It was really interesting. And it was just, yeah, it was so good to see him. And it was so good to see everyone. And it was an absolute afternoon of belly laughs. And just, it was just one of the most memorable days out, and not a drop of alcohol in sight for a lot of us, and certainly not for me. And it was just, I'll remember it forever. And hopefully we gave our good friend a good send off as he goes off around the world.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible.
I don't know what to say now. I'm emotional listening to that. I don't even know your friend Paul. What a guy.
He is what a guy.
But Steve, saying that, these things we've talked about, your friend Paul, who's obviously very poorly, but he's going to do some amazing things. Mm. You've talked about losing your dad a couple of years ago, redundancy, and then your kids are making you the fight. Life still goes on, doesn't it? The good stuff happens and the bad stuff happens. And when you are doing it all alcohol-free, like you just said then about meeting all these chaps that you worked with 30 years ago, you remember it. You're there. You're present for all of it. And it's, you know, you said, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that girl. Ben doesn't want to be that guy. But we are that guy and girl every single week that go, it's brilliant. It's the best gift you will ever give yourself for wherever you are at in your life, the good days, the bad days, and the incredible, you know, alcohol-free days. Oh, man, you've blown me away with what you've been sharing. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
We haven't got loads of time left, you know.
We haven't.
Which is a shame. We need to make sure we give Steve enough time. I know we've already plugged the podcast that hasn't even come out yet, Steve, the Alcohol-Free Revolution.
Love it. Great name.
That's the one. That's the one.
But we've got other stuff.
We need to talk about his coaching as well.
Talk to
us about that. Give it a good plug. Tell us about your coaching. You do ultramarathon coaching as well. And then obviously we've got enough time. We'll plug the podcast as well. Just
perfect.
Talk.
Right.
Steve,
so,
plug it
I qualified in December of last year, trained with Andy Ramage, which was life-changing. So I started up my coaching business, which is called Soberilliant, but it's spelled sober.illiant. So it's
great name.
Basically, there you go.
Brilliant. Yes, good.
So when you say it, it's Soberilliant. So that's that. You can follow it on Insta, which is at sober.illiant. Yeah, after my race in December, where I took a couple of months to recover, I took that time to study as a Huesca ultra marathon coach. So I want to launch a coaching business, running and coaching with people together. Like your kids talk to you in the back of the car without looking you in the eye. When I can run with people as well, it gives them the opportunity to coach them on the run. That's a little branch I want to put out as well. We're launching a 14-day alcohol-free challenge, which is launching on the 14th of July. But if anyone wants to sign up, I'm happy to. I'd run a 50% discount for anyone who wants to join prior to the 7th of July that's listened to the pod. They just need to jump on board and it would be 50% off.
Amazing.
To sign up. So I think that's all the plugs. Alcohol-free revolution coming your way very soon. and exciting times ahead, I hope.
Have you got a tagline, Steve? Because we've got too many taglines, so you can have one of ours if you want.
Can I?
Hang on.
Wait to feel great. That's a good one.
Crap.
I don't think it's appreciated here, so you can have it.
It's not. No, not
appreciate it elsewhere. Why wait to feel great?
Exactly.
That feels like so brilliant. Why wait to feel great anyway?
Well, what you need to do is load up the "so brilliant" with the three. The way you do to get that lovely, you know,
to sing it,
and get it.
But we can only do that on the premium podcast. It'd be shameful to do it on the main pod if we started doing that.
We've also got OTI. What next? And it's like Sean Bean is our voiceover for that one. Over the Influence. Right. What next? But then we decided, the idea being that, you know, you remove alcohol and that's the kind of foundation that we all share. But then everyone builds different things on that foundation. OTI.
Steve doesn't want any of these. He doesn't want any.
What next? Then we started doing it out loud and it felt a bit like a bank advert, didn't it? OTI.
Right.
What next? And it just felt a bit, you know, maybe.
Hang on, you forgot one as well. OTI, there's a car park at the rear.
No, that's the one.
That's a weird one.
I'm going to take that one.
You know, Steve is OTI super fan, so obviously gets that. Maybe you do, listening.
Brilliant.
If you don't, I can't even tell you where to
leave
go.
Leave it.
I'm going to have it in big neon lights. Yeah. Alcohol-free revolution. There's a car park at the rear.
Perfect. Steve, you know what? That works. My
it does.
Friend, that works.
It
it's
does.
Got legs. We're just about out of time. It has been a pleasure. And I echo what Ben said. You're just lovely. It's just been the loveliest chat. And we wish you nothing but the best your coaching, with the podcast. And if, you know, we at OTI can help you in any way, we absolutely will. Just remind people, Steve, where they can find you on socials or the website.
The website is www.soberilliant.com and on Insta at sober.illiant.
Love it. Fantastic. Ben smirking. He's thinking of a strap line. He's just...
I love how sober brilliant. It's really clever and I really like it.
It's better than ours.
Oh, yeah.
Better
than ours. Oh, I don't know.
Steve Smith, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening to OTI. Thank you for being a part of what we do. And thank you for being a guest on your favourite alcohol-free podcast.
It's been awesome. Thanks so much for having me. And love what you do. And I'll be listening for another however long it takes until you stop, which you said you're never going to do.
Sadly, no. Never, ever, ever.